Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. The first ever time we have done this award, I believe, Best Domestique of the Year. We're going to get into some definitional questions on that issue as well. What is a domestique? Who knows? I don't really know if it is defined anywhere accurately. This show, as always, is supported by our show partner, Lacole. More on them later. Here with Benji Nyson. As always, what is your understanding of a domestique, Benji, being well-versed, obviously, in Antonio Nibali, the best domestique ever?
Yeah, of course. He's the legend. But looking at the definition of a domestique, I think a lot of people see it in the simplicity of riding at the front of a group or chasing down a group for other people. I think it goes beyond that. I think it's more the definition of a rider that is in the race, mainly for the purpose of having their leader of their team improving their chances of winning. And I'm saying mainly because we have domestiques that start a race as a domestique, but by the end, they're not a domestique because something happens. And we will talk about that a little bit further on because I'm going to ask a random question to LR that is completely unprepared. So that's great. And next to that, there's a lot of aspects to that because, like I said, chasing groups, riding at the front, that's one way of helping your leader when they're in a nifty situation, when they need to chase down a group or when they want to pressurize people that are in the same group. But next to that, I think a lot of people overlook, for example, a rider going in the breakaway. Let's say, for example, Koro Hago did in women's preseason. She did that quite a lot in the early season, a few races where she went in the breakaway together with some other teams to make sure that SD Works had to work in the peloton,
Shabby,
their opposing team. Shabby as well. Yes, very good notice there. That's one of those riders that keeps on doing that, and that is doing that solely for the purpose of reducing the competition of their leader that is sitting behind in the peloton with that opposing team that is, putting the effort in to try and close down those gaps. But next to that, there's also more simple tasks that they do. You've got Arashiro that, for example, gets a lot of bottles for his teammates and in a very spectacular way, flying past the peloton with the bottles in his hand. Oh, that was great. Everything near that. But there's also the aspect of reducing the weaknesses of a leader, I think. Because, like, we talk about couple stages in Grand Tours, and we talk about Wout van Aert should look after Roglic, and certain couple riders should look after this person, and just guiding a leader in more comfortable situations, or in more uncomfortable situations, actually, to give them more comfort. Echelons is the same thing. So I said a lot of things. Do you think these applies to a domestique, or do you see other things?
Yeah, they're the main domestique roles, as well as, you know, the stereotypical is pacing, you know, in a mountain. That's the so-called super domestique. And you mentioned the Mads Pedersen role for Richie Port, invaluable for him in the Tour de France 2020. They post a lot about that, actually, Pedersen guiding him around. I think I have to include lead-out men here. It meets the definition of, you know, and we're not going to do a separate lead out man podcast, so it has to meet the definition for housekeeping. So lead out men have to count. If people doing a lead out like Kuss for Roglic, you know, in like Vuelta 2020, no, not Vuelta, whenever, when Kuss leads out Roglic on a mountain, well, to me, that's the same as Michael Mercu as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of different types of domestiques. There's guys who kind of do everything, who go unnoticed, I would say, a lot, like Carlos Verona, who you see his quality when he gets his own chance on the Alicante stage behind Stora, or in the attacking Kemna in the Catalunya break on Tamán Raza, maybe. There's a lot of different types of domestiques. It's tough because, like, Van der Breggen, Benji, she was a great domestique as well. For the men's, we're going to stick to riders who largely were domestiques for the year. That was their role, rather than Lopez, not really a domestique.
Yeah, I get that, certainly.
Okay, that's the definitioning done, which maybe we're no closer to the actual answer. Before we get into our list, mention our show partner, Lacole. Lacole are going back to the World Tour Peloton next year. They have a 3-year technical kit partnership with Bora Hansgrohe starting in 2022, and they have the fastest skin suits and speed suits around. We'll see that on the back of Sam Bennett next year. If you want to check out any of LeCole's kit, you can see it in the description below at www.lecole.cc. Thanks to LeCole for supporting the podcast. All right, Benji, my best domestiques in no particular order. I'm just going to scattergun around and we'll see if I've missed any names. Jonas Rickard, Mercu, Castroviejo, Dylan Van Baarle, Carlos Verona, Arashiro. Who else am I missing?
I've got Martinez.
Yes.
I've got a weakness for some domestiques, by the way. So I've got a list of domestiques as well, including like a Martinez, also a Kuss. And I think those two riders do have a weakness that is reducing them from the top spot of my best domestique list. But I've got very similar names. I also had the list of Castroviejo, Mercu, and the Clerc being on here together with Arashiro. And then the question was, do we calculate Caruso as a domestique or not? But we've already basically said that that's a rider that started as a domestique, but ended up being more than that. And in the end, basically was a leader for the races he was riding. So in the end, I'm not really counting him as a domestique in my spectrum here. So that's one that falls off. But two names that I'm asking you about is because we spoke about them at the early season, because we were kind of on the edge of what we were expecting from them. Mica and Formulo, do you think that they delivered?
Yes, I look back at the Tour de France footage. I think in big moments they did. In big moments, when I think of Liège-Bastogne-Liège, Formulo made an important pull to set up Tadej Pogačar. Yeah.
Castelfidardo
as well. And then Tour de France Stage 8, I went back and looked pre-Pogačar's attack. Ineos have set it up, and then Formulo drilled it on the front before Pogačar attacked. Then Micah was actually good third week from memory. At least he was regularly last 8 riders from memory, last 8 to 10 riders, which, you know, it's a good effort. So I'm actually less concerned by those sort of guys, Benji, as Pogačar's help on medium mountain, light medium mountain, or crosswind stages, frankly, where there was more problems with the team support. So even Soler and Bennett kind of fixed the biggest problem I saw with that team, actually.
You think that the aspect that they had quite a few crashes at the start of the tour might lead to a Hirschi or a Bjerg not being able to give their all on those stages? Perhaps that's an effect of it?
I just think Bjerg and Vegard Stekelangen and no Luke Rowe and Ian Stannard, I just don't think they're as good as those guys. I mean, they're young guys, but yeah, I just don't think they're as good in tricky situations, or even as good as Pedersen. Like Pedersen, imagine him being your domestique in crosswinds, or Wout van Aert. These are top classics riders. But going through, there's another couple of names: Imanol Erviti for Movistar, loyal domestique to them, as well as Jose Joaquin Rojas. Rojas, very versatile. And the thing I like about Erviti and Rojas, Benji, is, and something that I really, really rate as important, and it applies to Verona as well and Castroviejo, these guys can get over like really hard climbs, long climbs, unless they are done at nuclear GC pace, and they can make it to the next valley and help, generally speaking. And I think that is incredibly important in Grand Tours. We saw it in Catalunya in the Calella stage. Verona made it, and we see it in the Vuelta with Rojas as well. Where do you sort of rate, what do you value as more important? A Martinez who can do a last pull on a final steep climb, or a Castroviejo who is going to make it over the second last climb and then pace the valley to keep things under control for Bernal?
I've got Castroviejo slightly higher, because while Martinez is indeed a better climber himself and is very good at motivating Bernal when he's dropping off the back of the elite group, he's also got a weakness, Martinez, and it's his descending. We've spoken about it quite a few times this season, and it's something that is very notable. Castro has good descending. He's able to guide a squad or a leader in his wheel down a hill as well, just like uphill. He's able to set pace. He was one of the better climbers in the Dauphiné last year, by the way. Everybody keeps forgetting that Castro was climbing with the likes of the big guns there, and I was like, okay, this is crazy. But this year, we have not seen that nuclear performance on like the biggest climbs by Castro, but I feel like he's been a very strong consistent domestique on every terrain throughout that Giro. And next to that, he's able to do two Grand Tours in a row to also support in the Tour de France. Now, obviously, how a GC leader eventually completes a Grand Tour reflects on their domestiques a bit. So the Giro for Castro automatically looks better because Bernal won compared to the Tour de France, where Carapaz only podiumed, while it's still a fantastic result for Carapaz as well. I'm like, automatically the Giro just looks better for Castro. But like, to answer your question, I agree that I see personally Castro somewhat higher than a Martinez, while a Martinez can indeed do that that crazy pull. And that's one of the examples you gave, that stage 20 at the Giro, when Castroviejo was able to get over that San Bernardino climb, and he was able to get over the next climb as well. And then after the second last climb, he was the one that was able to get back to the front as well. So yep.
They had to wait for Martinez on the descent.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of those stages where you're like saying it's multiple mountains. He can get over that. When it's at GC pace, probably going to get in trouble. But he's also not the rider that when he gets dropped, he's completely done for. He can try and come back for a later stage. And it also results in other terrains we've seen in history of Castro, where he's also good in medium mountain terrain and also in somewhat hilly terrain. I personally don't have an example in my head of like a very steep climb he got over and then supported, so I can't tell you that, but he's versatile. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's what we see with the most important domestiques in my eyes, that they're versatile. You've got domestiques like Castro who are very versatile throughout. You've got domestiques that are very specialized in one thing. And then we're looking at a Merckx in my eyes, because while he's also able to help in other terrains a tiny bit, I feel like lead out is his thing and the other things are just not really there. So how would you rate a lead out specialized domestique versus an all-rounder versatile domestique in a different terrain? Who do you decide? How do you decide who's better?
I think this is something I've been grappling with. Who made the most marginal difference to World Tour wins this year or wins this year? Was it Merckx? Was it Castroviejo? Was it Dylan van Baarle? It has to be Merckx, I think. I think Merckx is my best domestique of the year, because I think Ooh. He made the biggest marginal difference to race results this year. And frankly, who would you put as the next best last man in the World Tour? Is it Consonni? Reluctant to give it to him. Not yeah. Rüdiger Zeilig. He is so important, and we saw he generated World Tour wins with Bennett, Cavendish, Hodge. Like, anyone behind him wins at a higher rate than they do otherwise, and four Tour de France stage wins, not all of which he did a perfect job in, but a lot he did. He has to be my biggest contributor to wins as a domestique this year. I think Castroviejo, the one thing that stands out in my mind, maybe his level was even better in the Tour de France. He was in the last five men on Luthard Eden. He closed down Pogacar's attack after Pogacar attacked on Luthard Eden. He closed it down for Carapaz.
Crazy.
So I think Castro is incredibly important as well. I have him as my second best domestique of the year. And someone, Benji, speaking of Ineos, we focused a lot on Ineos. A rider we were lauding last year. He had 56 race days this year with no Grand Tours, he had a heavy load before the Tour.
Rohan.
Andre Amador.
Oh, okay. It could be that we would have chosen Rohan Dennis, because last year I think he was one of the better domestiques in the Giro, for example. But you're right, Amador, we haven't seen him in a while, have we? Like,
no Grand Tours.
It's kind of sad. Like, Amador was also the kind of rider that is also very similar in Castro, with the ability of doing very versatile things, and also a magnificent descender, Amador. I've seen this man flying through groups like it's crazy. And that versatility was perhaps there, but the level just wasn't there this year, I think. Did he have an injury, or
I don't
remember him in races?
He did. And he wasn't as good. He did big races, Benji. He did UAE, Paris-Nice, Basque, Romandie, Dauphiné. We watched all those races.
Well, now, Romandie, big races.
Okay. I didn't watch Romandie. But I made a pod about it, but didn't watch it. I don't remember him standing out in those races. In fact, when I think about La Planète Dauphiné, I think of
Button.
Well, but in terms of domestiques, I think Verona, Rojas, Valverde, Urbiti. on that climb leading it out. So I don't know what happened with Amador. Dylan van Baal, he just wasn't – I mean, he was a great domestique. I think he got – I don't know if he was over-raced this year or what, but he did two Olympics Vuelta. He was more in an aggressive role at the Vuelta, actually. And I remember in the tour, he got in the break as a satellite rider on stage 7, which Benji sort of mentioned at the top of the podcast, how it is part of a domestique's role to be able to get into breaks as well. But in terms of I haven't decided on my third best domestique of the year. I think it's Verona, actually, because all that stands out in my mind is the three Trident leaders looking at him in the valley after the last climb in Catalonia, and poor old Carlos Verona had to close down and re-tag himself. He does the work of three domestiques looking after those guys. And yeah, I think Verona's a really, really, really good domestique. So they're my three: Mercu, Castro, Verona. Is there any disagreement there, Benji?
I agree with your with these riders deserving to be on the podium, and I think it's a very defendable take, the ones you are proposed. I've got two of the three riders actually the same on the podium, but I've got one rider that is not, and I also don't have the same positions for the riders, so I guess we look at things differently now. But my third best rider is a rider we've barely mentioned, but he was one of my better domestiques in the past, and he's still one of those better domestiques still, but he's also specialized in a task. He's the one that starts riding at the start of the peloton at the start of a race and make sure that the brake doesn't get away. And in other situations, he goes into breakaways, like in the World Championships, for example, to try and, first of all, calm down Remco Evenepoel. And next to that, also try and pressurize teams in the back, stuff like that, try and put other people in trouble. And that is Tim de Klerk for me. He's one of those riders that has zero shown interest, at least, in being a leader himself. He doesn't use situations to his advantage, and he always looks, well, he uses situations to the advantage of his team and not to himself, and that's great. I remember that one race, was it a 1.1 or 2.1 race, I don't know what it was, a Belgian one-day race where he and Yves Lampaert were attacking together, and yeah, some crazy stuff happened. And even in previous years, we've seen him do lots of crazy stuff. And I think Driedag de Ponne last year was pretty crazy as well, where he was in that attack where Van der Poel then eventually, did he fall, Van der Poel? I vaguely recall him falling during a race last year, and that was in an echelon race with a group of five that was still left in the end. But yeah, we're talking about this year, of course, and I think Tim de Klerk is still one of those riders. And it also builds into the aspect of getting your leader to the finish line when he's not exactly the best climber. And that's where Cavendish is definitely an argument, because de Klerk was always by his side every single time that your boy Cav was dropping off the back of the peloton and was trying to finish in the green jersey in the Tour de France. And I think supporting your leader, just while you're suffering yourself, mentally supporting your leader at the back of the race is also something that is very difficult, I think. And we've heard Mercu talk about it, and that is my second spot.
That's why I gave points to Mercu.
Yeah.
Because he's a master of it. That de Koenig squad needs credit for getting Cav through the time cuts.
Yeah. And additionally, I feel like Mercu has an extra thing where he is able to adapt to the leader that he has. So, for example, in the situation that we just spoke about, being at the back of the race, trying to get your leader to the finish line, we've got Cavendish that, according to Mercu, is a harder person to motivate to get to the finish line because he's suffering and, as a consequence, complaining that he's suffering, and Mercu has to adapt to that and try and motivate him to get him to the line. While he said that with other sprinters, like a Bennett, for example, that was less of a... the motivating was less necessary because that seemed to flow better, just like that. And then towards normal sprints, you see him adapt as well because we've seen situations where he literally mid-sprint changes what he's doing completely according to whether his sprinter is able to follow him or whether his sprinter is able to, do what he's thinking that the sprinter should be doing. Because we saw last year, Bennett lost the wheel of Mercu, for example, and the second that he started trusting Mercu in Mercu's abilities, it worked out better and better. And I think Mercu adapts at the end of sprints as well, where he either needs to choose between bringing out the lead out versus bringing out the sprinter or bringing the sprinter to the last 200 meters. Like, in the last 3 kilometers, he decides all this stuff and then places it perfectly. And by the end of the race, it's categorically a better chance of his sprinter winning than anyone else because he's able to adapt to the situation that his sprinter is in the sprint. Did that make sense at all, my explanation?
I think his favorite man to lead out is Bennett. I think Mercu likes Bennett more than Cavendish, just completely.
I think so as well.
Subjective, just based on the way he speaks about the various riders, and he seemed to like Bennett. I could probably just make that up. Viviani, as he said as well, that he literally didn't have to speak to Viviani. This is an article.
I have a question.
Yes.
So a lot of people talk about Mercu, and when we start discussing the best sprinters in the world, people tend to sometimes name Mercu as one of the best sprinters because he can't get second behind his main sprinter. He can't get second behind Cavendish in a sprint, in an intermediate sprint. Do you think that if you put Mercu at the back of a train, he would be a good sprinter? My answer, no, because he won't have Mercu as a lead out.
I think he can win World Tour races, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. He came second in a tour stage, fourth and third in UAE, fifth in Elfstaden on the... I think he could snag a World Tour race. He's not going to be... Yeah, I think his positioning is so good. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have that snap and he's more like a steady 15, 20 seconds or maybe a bit longer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he could win. But that's firmly his role. I'm always surprised that people don't be... I think he extended with De Koenig for another 2 years. Like,
yeah,
if you're paying Caleb bucket loads and then it's like getting a Ferrari and putting cheap petrol in it, right? Like, you got to have the lead out, man. It's essential. But
is there a difference between petrol? I didn't know that.
What do you mean? There's like better quality petrol.
Benji, I didn't know that.
Benji obviously doesn't have a supercar. Fake YouTuber. One lead out man I want to mention, and I'd be remiss not to mention, or two actually. Jonas Rickard, I thought was really good, and I remember him leading MVDP back to the group at Paris-Roubaix. Sticks out in my mind. Another one is Marco Haller. He just took a 3-year deal at Bora Hansgrohe. Poor guy, Dauphiné, was chasing with 58 kilo Buitrago on the flats, chasing Brent van Muren and Lucas Postelberger all day. He's a solid lead out man. He can do also the Tim de Klerk style role. He's a good classics domestique. I think as an all round domestique, I really want to mention him there, as opposed to like a Nathan van Hooijdonk. It's just like different quality, you know, between those sort of domestiques, Haller versus a Van Hooijdonk. And I think that's why you see even Zeeman at Jumbo-Visma said, like, our classic support for Wout wasn't good enough. We had to reload with Laporte and Van der Sande. But Jumbo, Benji, we haven't really mentioned any of their riders. Maybe we haven't mentioned Kuss. Why is Kuss not sniffing your top three or five?
Kuss is in my top 10, certainly. I haven't really decided the position that he's in. But while he is there at very important moments throughout the year, he's also sometimes not there when it's a very important moment. He lacks consistency throughout a Grand Tour, for example, and therefore I can't 100% trust that he's going to be there on every situation that Roglic is going to need him. And we saw that, for example, in Formigal Vuelta last year, where the team was kind of falling apart right there. But in this year, when something goes wrong, Roglic needs to have people that he can trust on, that can try and prevent the situation that they are put in from becoming a time loss at the end of the stage. And on multiple situations now in the last year, and we can even extend that to a year and a half, we've noticed that is not the case there. And that's one of the reasons that I've got Kuss outside of that top three. And also next to that I've, in the same way, feel like he has similar qualities in being a good climber, but also similar downsides as Roglic in that chaotic situation. When it goes wrong, they are both in trouble, and therefore they don't feel compatible with each other to be able to fix that situation, you know?
Yeah, I think just reliability is important, and he doesn't have the reliability as a domestique to be the top level of domestiques, despite if you want to shred a group and reduce it to even like three guys, he can do that, which is also... that's still very, very important, but it's more on the defensive. Is he reliable? I think of Vontu, or not even Vontu, on the aggressive Vontu stage of the tour, he wasn't there for Jonas. He lost so much time and couldn't help Vingegaard. who was on good form that day. And this is something Dowsett mentioned, Benji, in his interview about how domestiques get judged, and you mentioned it with Castro Giro, domestiques get judged based on whether their leaders are good enough to actually get the result. Luca Mezget's bike exchange, is he a top-tier domestique and he just doesn't have the people behind him to finish it off? I mean, I think of a lot of the work he did this year, 66 race days. He even got fourth in Champs-Élysées sprint, fourth in Vuelta stage as well. Is Mezget actually, is he a top quality last man?
Should he not be the sprinter? That we've spoken about that the entire year when Matthews was failing to dive into the fast position in a sprint, and we noticed that throughout the year. And is that a question that we should ask? Yes, but then I saw a video by Bike Exchange on their YouTube or Twitter or whatever, where Mezget was simply saying in the camera, "I want to do this work." And yeah, I am. It's hard to know whether he actually wants to do that or he's doing it for the content. But in all honesty, I think that he could be a sprinter if he wants to. But when it comes to his work for other people, he is good on his day. But I'm not sure whether I've analyzed his career or his year so far enough to be able to say that he's consistent or reliable throughout a long period of time. I'm not sure I can say whether he was reliable for the Vuelta unless I rewatched the Vuelta, to be honest.
Other riders who are sort of great in a breakaway with teammates, I want to give a shout out. And often I just remember one moment from a domestique, and maybe it's so hard to know. It's so hard to know because sometimes their work is done off camera before live coverage even starts. But Julien Bernard, in a couple of stages of the Tour de France, really impressed me in breaks with Mollema. Doing some of the hard work there, establishing those breaks. But yeah, as I said, my list is Mercu, Castroviejo, Verona, very honorable mentions being Dylan van Baal and Haller as well. Producer, have I missed any important names? Yeah, again, moments for Jens Cucalera, great moment. Lawson Craddock, great moment. Yep. I just, not the consistency across the year and changing results like those other guys. So what's your final domestique ranking, Benji?
I had the Clerc in third, Mercu in second, and Castro in first, because Castro is able to perform that for two Grand Tours in a row, one of the strongest reliability performances throughout a Grand Tour for a leader, and he's almost always there when he needs to be there, and that's what you need from a domestique. And what do you think about riders like Arashiro? We've spoken about him quite a few times during, I think it was the, was it the Vuelta or the Tour?
Yeah, Vuelta.
Tour. Vuelta, okay. Where he was the rider that was doing, well, the shitty job is what spectators would say, of getting bowls every time. But someone needs to do it. And if you can do it in a way where you're literally helping your team throughout. And it's not the only thing he did, because then we saw that he was launching Caruso in useless attacks and stages where he is often judged on the way that Caruso was stupidly attacking to breakaways that are already kind of gone. And next to that, like, he was also launching Landa in that one stage where he decided to abandon and not become the best domestique of the year award because he stepped out of the Vuelta while still having the energy to go into a D attack. So Landa's not the best domestique of the year, that's for sure.
Not even a good teammate. I mean, yeah, the Vuelta's an interesting one where you have someone like Gino Maeda. Am I going to put him in my domestique of the year categories? Like, he put Haig on the podium from stage 20 and pacing on Covadonga and Gamonateru when Haig was getting dropped. But he's largely a leader, correctly, for the rest of the year. So, again, not someone. I got a hot take, Benji. I think Tim de Klerk's overrated. Like, yeah, I think his job is more replaceable than someone like Mercu, someone like Castroviejo. Finding a guy who can climb as well as Castro or Verona or as versatile as Haller or Van Baal, who are willing to ride in that domestique role and be fully committed, is more difficult to find at a decent price than a 6 foot five, 6 foot six guy who just wants to ride 400 watts on the front all day. Because, as I said, I mean, he's good to clerk. I'm just saying I reckon you could find someone else to do that job on the front more easily.
Walshide?
They might not be as good, but yeah, I think brake management can be taught. Justin Wolfe at Bike Aid. Again, as I said, it might not be as good. I just don't think it's as important or determinative of actually winning races. I get that.
Defendable take. I've got a question for you. Which team in general feels like they have the best domestiques? Because we're talking about the Koenig having the likes of a Merck and the Clerc being high up. The Clerc overrated in your eyes, but hey, okay. And then Ineos has Custer and Martinez. You think that there's a team out there that it's just performing better domestique-wise, or do you think that it's just certain riders on certain teams?
I mean, Ineos generally can get guys, generally, unless it's for Carapaz, can get someone of the quality of a Pidcock, Sivakov. We haven't mentioned Puccio. Should mention him.
Yeah, certainly.
To ride as domestiques or Martinez. Martinez literally won the Dauphiné at EF last year. And rode as domestique for Bernal this year, although I still think he was holding something back on those pools to maintain his own GC position. But I think Ineos get guys to work as domestiques well, except they sell Carapaz out every year and they just send him an absolute shit show with him. Like the support for Carapaz at the Tour was a disgrace. And it was in the Vuelta 2020 as well. And I hope at the Giro next year, if he goes, he should go, he gets decent support. So yeah, it depends. I mean, Thomas and Port as domestiques, just not there. I mean, Port is okay for Thomas, but will he ride as domestique for Carapaz? I don't know. I mean, Carapaz is the guy at Catalunya who rode as domestique for those guys. No problem, full commitment for Yates, Port and Thomas. And he didn't really
see. Did he do it at the Vuelta for Bernal?
Would he do it at the Vuelta?
Did he do it at the Vuelta for Bernal? Because I recall us judging him based on his domestique performance, Carapaz at the Vuelta.
True. But I'm giving him a completely... He DNF'd. He just won the Olympics, okay. Got sent in bad shape to the Vuelta. Again, the Vuelta, they had... Yeah, like it was interesting. They sent Pidcock when he wasn't in great shape. And I mean, if I was Carapaz, I'm not... Fuck no, am I going to... work for 3 weeks after the support he had at the Tour de France. Like, no way. But yeah, interesting to see what will happen with Ineos next year. Who do you think has the best domestiques? Because Jumbo, Kruijswijk was actually okay in the Vuelta. Jumbo, it's Hesink, Kruijswijk, Kuss, it's all right, but not maybe the top. UAE are maybe a little bit underrated, but I still don't think you're great. I don't know, it's pretty balanced across the board.
Yeah, I think if we saw Jumbo at their full force during the Tour de France, I think we would have had a different idea of certain riders, perhaps, because would have shown more consistency there, because he technically his Vuelta was the second Grand Tour that he did, you know. So perhaps if that was the Tour de France that his main goal was on paper at the start of the season, perhaps his form there would have given him more consistency, and perhaps without Van Aert, we would have seen more as a domestique as well, because I don't know, would he have been trained fully if Roglic stayed on his bike? That's a question we don't know the answer to. But I do know that based on what we've seen from Wout van Aert in the last Tour de France, he can be one of the better domestiques in the world because he's very versatile on different terrains, much like Castrovieja. We saw it last year in the Tour de France during that Port de Balès stage, one of the strongest climbers there, Mondeguel, also climbing towards the end. And he's able to do that in all different terrains. Was it stage 19 or 19 it was last year where they had the stage with Plateau de Glière and so forth where he came? Was it Fat? So all that stuff is helpful. And he's got the TT also to be able to support just like Castro does. So I think the problem there is that Van Aert has won more races and therefore he is much harder to chain than a Castrovieja. When talking about chains, you think that Kwiat would deserve a top 10 place if the Tour de France looked better, or was his domestique performance at the Tour de France not good enough?
I mean, he did the lead out on Ventoux for Carapaz that didn't really go anywhere. Liège and Flèche, he was prominent. And Amstel Gold Race, he was making the group with Pidcock at Amstel. He's a top domestique, has to be an honourable mention. He did seem to take a step back this year, but was that more in a, like, was it in Strade? Did he do a good job for Bernal? Maybe he's just taken a step back in terms of his own results, particularly Polonia, was quite disappointing. And that's influencing my perception of his ability as a domestique, which largely was still very good, still well above average as a domestique.
By the way, Montalcino Ghana is one I forgot to talk about. He was very prominent there, very active, also on the plateau echelon mid-mountain event that we had in the Giro. I don't know what to call it at this point, mountain echelons. But he was also very active there, and I think throughout the stages as well, he was pacing. But what he has not shown me, Ghana, this year, and we saw it last year a bit more on the stage that Dennis went haywire, stage 19 of the Giro d'Italia last year, where they were on the Stelvio. Ghana was riding quite a bit at the start of that Stelvio, and throughout the middle, Dennis was taking over and totally killing everybody except his two leaders, or actually, perhaps if he climbed harder, he might have dropped them. But looking at it this year, did we expect more from Ghana in climbing based on that Stelvio performance, or do you expect that to change into a situation where he can take up a role like Dennis did last year at the Giro, or is that too much for him?
No, he can't climb like Dennis. I don't know. I'm interested to see his program next year, actually, Ghana. But I think Ghana can be good. I saw at UAE this year, I liked what I saw keeping Yates safe into the last 3Ks of the sprint stages. I think that's something evidently he has the power to do. So I'd like to see Ghana doing that role in the Tour de France, actually, and maybe Luke Rowe doesn't go to the Tour next year. But then there's crosswinds and it's technical, so you might want Rowe. But yeah, Ghana, I think, can develop into a more broader domestique where he can protect in the last, up to the last 3K mark and pass there, which is so important. You know, you might have a leader who can do 0.15 watts per kilo more over 30 minutes and therefore will gain 12 to 15 seconds on a climb or whatever. But if they're going to crash out on a stand, you know, if they've got a 5% risk of crashing every sprint stage, that's a problem. And Ghana, Rowe, et cetera, do a much better job of that than Jumbo Visma. Like, that's a basic GC, except for Adam Yates, but that's the Adam Yates problem, in my view. And that's a basic thing that Ineos get right and Jumbo don't. And Pogacar kind of just, I don't know, he just looks after himself pretty much. So yeah, Ghana can do that. Climbing though, don't see it. I'm really interested to see how the Giro and Tour starts go next year regarding Ghana as well, and Van Aert and everybody. I just can't wait for the racing next year. But I'm sure people will have honourable mentions that we've not included. They'll not agree with our top three domestiques in male cycling across the year. Any final thoughts on domestiques, Benji, and who you think will really step up to maybe be top tier, either mountain, lead out, etc. Next year? I think Haller for Bennett is going to get noticed a lot.
I hope he does, because I do kind of like what Haller is doing. And next to that, I want to see what Fraile does for Ineos next season after his transfer. The problem with Fraile and Naramburu, for example, is that they have been domestiques. We've seen Fraile do stuff in descents, Aramburu do stuff in descents on climbs. But the problem is that their leader was never good enough in the races that they did it. So they've not been able to get that respect that another leader perhaps would have, well, eventually ruled for them. For example, if they do the work that they do for Roglic during that Itzulia stage, for example, instead of Izagirre, then their performance looks more credited, because the team that came out on top in that stage was not Astana. And as a consequence, people credit Jumbo a lot for the work that happened in that Itzulia stage to split up the group.
They didn't do anything.
And Astana was the group that, the team that did it. So that's the aspect there that I'm curious what these riders will do in other teams. I'm curious what a rider like Fraile will do in Ineos. And that's also an aspect of the domestique on one end needing to be, on one end, it needs to fill the issues that a leader has, and on the other end, it needs to make sure that their strengths are not too strong for their leader. For example, Fraile went haywire on a descent, went crazy on a descent, and Lopez rode into his sign as a consequence. So that's an example of non-compatible. Sorry, what?
Narvaez did 9 watts per kilo for a minute and dropped Adam Yates on the Cuyera stage of the Vuelta. And stuffed yep. Bernal. He pulled way too hard. So that's a problem. Fraile is the Moscon replacement. I think pretty – that seems how I'm reading it, and I think he'll be very, very, very good over there.
As a final question, is Moscon now free at Astana, or will he domestique for the one and only legend, Sharku Nibali?
You have to let Moscon hunt stage of the Giro next year. Like, Bettiol better be freed as well. So Moscon, different team, obviously, but the stages suit those type of guys. And sorry, Vincenzo, but
aww.
He can be a satellite rider. And I just happened to get 5 minutes.
Satellite rider.
Yeah. Like a satellite rider. Oops, I won the stage. Sorry. kind of like we're doing it at the Dauphiné stage. I'm 2 minutes ahead. So yeah, Moscon should be free, I would say. And that surely is part of the reason. Maybe Ineos didn't want to re-sign him, but yeah, that's part of the reason he went to Astana, one would think. But yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to see next year. I love watching the Domestique watch. Keen to see. I think Koos, to be honest, is still going for like stage hunting leadership, and then occasionally we'll do like hard pulls at the end of back end of a grand tour. But yeah, domestiques are important, teammates often undervalued, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast dedicated to the domestiques. Let us know your top three lists of domestiques this year, as well as most memorable or important domestique performance in terms of race changing results. Mine is Castro, Giro stage 20. I can't forget it. It's more important than what Martinez did in terms of saving time for Bernal against Caruso. And yeah.
The best domestiques were the people who watch LRCP and support our content. I appreciate it.
All right. We're going to end on that note. Like the video down below, and we'll see you in the next one. Ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.